Welcome to the Forum Education Podcast, where we take a closer look at the challenges and opportunities shaping how students learn and grow. In each bite-sized episode, we share insights and expertise to help families support their children's learning, confidence, and overall well-being. Hi, I am so excited to be here with my friend and colleague, Darius Wheel. And today we are going to dive into a topic that is really top of mind for parents, for students, for educators, for lots of different practitioners, which is writing. And to put it simply, students have a really hard time writing. Our nation's report card, the NAEP, shows that I think it's less than a third of our students nationwide are writing proficiently, but we don't really need that to know that that is the case. I'm on phone calls all day with parents who are concerned that their kids can't write. And so today we're going to talk about why, what are the main drivers for that, and what do you, for example, Darius, do about it? So let's get right into it. Darius, why are students struggling with writing so much? What are the main drivers of this crisis that we're really bearing witness to?
So I think the core problem is actually something that no one can be blamed for, which is that writing is hard. Mm. It demands so many different cognitive skills. But there are additional challenges that I think students face right now, and some of them are going to be really unsurprising. So first, fewer and fewer kids are interested in reading for pleasure, and worse, they often don't even have time for it. Mm. School days are really packed, extracurriculars leave very little time for unstructured reading, which means that kids are getting reduced exposure to models of strong writing, and that causes difficulties later on with sentence-level grammar and syntax. I think the effects of screen time and social media are also real. It's becoming harder for students to sustain their attention over long periods of time. Mm. And that's affecting both reading and writing skills. Another that a lot of people have been talking about recently, generative AI offers a tantalizing substitute for doing one's own thinking. It can brainstorm ideas, organize them into an outline, and even draft entire essays. And then I think the last driver is that opportunities to receive timely, personalized feedback and instruction are hard to come by. The most effective way to become a better writer is to actually write and receive prompt, individualized feedback.
Right.
And there are
It's an iterative process. Yeah.
There are time constraints on both students and teachers that make that really challenging. And I think it's also common for students to never learn explicit, systematic techniques for revising their writing, which is essential to producing good work.
So many important points. There's so much that I want to double click on, so to speak. The first of which is what you said at the outset, which is that writing is hard. And I think it's worth reiterating that. Virtually every cognitive process that we can name is involved in writing, right? And if there's a deficit in even one of those areas, then suddenly a student is thrown off course. So let's just name a few just to really concretize it, right? So there's organization, there's idea generation, there's synthesizing, there's punctuation, spelling. I mean, literally every single process under the sun is recruited for this task. And I think it's just, it bears repeating that it is incredibly challenging. And because of that, as you said so articulately, we have to be so intentional about how we teach this and the exposure to good writing. And so you talked about how the real decline in reading for pleasure and exposure to great writing across the board is a problem. You also said the lack of explicit instruction for the writing process and the revision process is a problem. So lots to unpack here. Anything else you want to drive home before we move on?
In my experience, those are the major factors that need the most intervention.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well said. So then let's pivot and talk about how do you get over this hurdle in your own sessions with students? What are some of the interventions, the approaches, the processes that you put in place in order to fill some of the Swiss cheese here, knowing, of course, that becoming a good writer takes a lot of time and a lot of reps, and there's no easy fix. But I am really curious to hear from you.
Easy fix. And many of the things that I do with students to try to build them into stronger writers are things that, if I'm working with them over a period of several years, we're doing those same things over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So one of the first is, I think it's really important to demystify for students the elements of an essay. So when I'm working with a new student, one of the first things that we do is slow down and ask, so what exactly is an essay? What is an essay meant to accomplish? What is it for? And we ask the same kinds of questions about terms that students have listened to their teachers talk about for years. Thesis, topic sentences, paragraphs. What exactly are these things and what are they meant to do?
I love that. So at the macro level, first of all, clarifying what this entity even is and what it's meant to achieve.
And I find that's really important because it often clears up misconceptions that students have about what the aim of a paragraph is or mm-hmm. what their overarching goal is for a paper. And sometimes I'm very surprised at what they believe they're supposed to be doing when it's actually quite distant from what their teachers and what I am really aiming for them to do.
Right. And in conjunction with that conversation, do you then show them what an effective piece of writing looks like so that...
Absolutely. That's another core component of my work with students. I provide them with concrete models of what good and not so good writing actually looks like. And that's not unique to me. I mean, good teachers do that in all disciplines.
Yeah.
But I think in writing, it's especially important because students feel so relieved when someone actually answers that question. So what are you looking for?
Right.
And what's especially effective, I've found, is asking kids to occupy the position of a critic. So after we've discussed what a strong topic sentence looks like or what a good paragraph looks like, I ask them to read a sample topic sentence or a sample paragraph and critique it like an editor.
Yeah.
What they're now learning about good writing is no longer abstract. They're applying that knowledge themselves to something that's right in front of them.
And it is not easy to be a parent trying to help your kid. That dynamic is never an easy one. But I would suspect that something like an easy lift for families who are trying to help their kids in this process is to encourage them to ask their teachers for examples of good writing, examples of assignments from the past. So as you describe, they can sort of see what the goalposts are.
Yeah, and it's important to be, you know, kind of deft about that because some teachers have very different views on the utility of providing models than I do. But in general, yes, if it seems like a teacher is open to that, that's a very valuable request to make.
Yeah. So I love that. So you talked about how you really like to start your sessions and your time with a student, like you said, demystifying what even is an essay and what are these components, especially as we think about analytical writing, of effective essay composition, like the thesis statement, your body paragraphs, your intro, your conclusion, and so forth and so on. What is all of that? And also, what does it look like concretely? That is tremendous. What else do you do to try to bridge this gap for students?
So when I provide those models and I invite a student to occupy the position of a critic, I think that's also really important for a very different reason, which is that it gives me an opportunity to boost a student's confidence. I'm telling them, you get to be the authority right now on what this paragraph is doing well and what it needs improvement on. And that's that's something I constantly focus on in my work with students is building confidence. I think for all of the reasons that we said earlier that are causing this writing crisis, those all feed into a lack of confidence. And so it's very important to address that explicitly. Students need confidence in their own voice, in their own thinking. So no matter how old a student is or how good their writing skills, I think that building confidence is crucial.
100%. And what I like about the exercise that you've described in terms of allowing students to occupy the seat of a critic is it sort of takes them out of it in a way, right? It takes them personally out of it. And they don't have to be worried about receiving criticism. And then they get to kind of learn by contrast, too. You've shown them what really good writing looks like. Perhaps now you're looking at a piece that's a little subpar, and they get to see the difference and try to move the needle. So I think that's fantastic. So you talked about demystifying what an essay is, discussing and showing examples of elements of effective writing, giving students the opportunity to be the teacher, essentially, and revise writing in order to enhance it. What else do you do in your sessions with students to build their writing skills?
I think this is actually something that, doesn't just happen in sessions. And in fact, for the most part, it doesn't happen in sessions. It's encouraging kids to read. And for younger students, that means spending some time reading aloud daily so that they get exposed to more advanced syntax, vocabulary, different ways of structuring a story. And for all students, no matter what their age, dedicating some time to just doing reading in a genre or on a subject that interests you is really important because that engagement with literature strengthens skills of imagination. But like I was saying earlier, it also strengthens familiarity with what good sentences look like. And so one of the things that I like to do in sessions is talk with kids about what they're reading. And if the answer is, no, I haven't really been reading anything, I lay on a bit of pressure combined with encouragement to say, that's actually really, really important and it's going to be very valuable for you.
And you said though something really worth repeating, which kids should be reading within a genre, within a domain that they are legitimately interested in, right? They don't have to be reading War and Peace. They can read about, frankly, whatever they want, with a little bit of discretion. But to your point, that exposure to good writing is so critical at the more micro level so that they can see and feel what engaging sentences look like, sound like, and then start borrowing them in their own
Absolutely.
work. So reading for pleasure. Now we have to acknowledge students are overbooked. They are often, overworked, and so it is not lost on us, of course, that students don't always have the luxury of time. But it doesn't have to be hours of
No,
reading for pleasure.
it can literally be 15 minutes a day.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to start wrapping it up because the point of these sessions really are to be bite-sized, quick, easy to digest. But before we do, is there anything else that you want to share that you do in your sessions to really help students understand how to write?
I mean, the main thing that I do in my sessions reflects my macro view of what writing is, which is that writing is thinking. And so the main thing that's happening in sessions is that I am engaging in dialogue with students about the substantive material that they are writing about. And that means asking good questions, it means responding to their ideas, it means having that kind of back and forth so that the actual thinking that is, that's what animates writing, so that the actual thinking develops. And the hope is that the experience of that dialogue is enjoyable.
That's well said. And I'm thinking as a parent, in terms of what parents can do to support their students in this endeavor. And again, it's not easy to navigate the parent-child dynamic, especially around something that is so challenging, like writing. But what I've sort of extrapolated from what you've said is one of the things that parents can do is engage in this dialogue with their children, whether it is about what they're reading in school or anything else that they're interested in, to really drive home that critical thinking and ultimately writing skills as well. So anything else that you want to leave folks with before we wrap?
I mean, some other suggestions that I would give to parents is, yes, definitely talk with your child about not the minutia of the assignment that they've been given, but about the subject matter.
Yeah.
And often, you know, kids will be kind of cagey about their parents reading their work.
Sure.
And so you don't have to make that ask, but you can say to your kid, I know you're working on this essay. Tell me about the argument. What are you saying?
Or
what's the question that you're trying to answer in this essay? Mm-hmm. And in that process of verbalizing to you what they're working on, their own thinking will continue to develop and mature.
Great. Well said. So writing is hard. Writing is hard. It's multifaceted. It takes time. It needs to be explicitly taught. It needs to be practiced. Students need to see great examples of writing across academic domains. It is a process. But your students are so lucky to have you, Darius. We're so lucky that you are part of our community. Thank you so, so much. And I'm excited to talk to you again soon.
Likewise. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Forum Education Podcast. We hope today's conversation gave you something useful to bring back to your family. And we so look forward to having you with us again next time.